It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Fireworks!
We have fireworks in the studio.
Yeah, I hired a pyrotechnic, and we got it going.
I wonder if that is okay in the budget.
I get a little stipend from Center Grove football.
That'll do it. Yeah. You know, I don't think that is okay with the fire marshal. So we must stress that that was a joke. If anyone's
Wait,
listening,
Township up, Fire Department is not going to be too heavy. Station 8. Hey, Station 84 is right here. They're right here.
They're cool. They know.
It's a short drive.
They know we use fireworks in the station.
Yeah. We don't, but okay.
I wonder what it'd be like, because like, I've never seen fireworks inside. I've always seen them outside, but I wonder if they would like fizz out or would they like ricochet?
Ricochet.
I'm not sure.
That'd be bad. It'd catch on fire.
There's only one way to find out.
No.
Owen Pulley does not represent WBDG.
He has been fired.
I think that's like I said, I think that's got to be a record. Most times hired and refired in 1 year. Yes. I think we're up to like 130 now.
Yes.
Yeah. But hey, this is the Sports Spotlight. Hey, how's it going?
We always have our random talk off the top of the show.
Yeah, I like it.
At this point.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Good times.
Now we're talking about football and
some
stuff.
Football.
Right.
Today is the Tuesday of April 19th, the year 2022.
It is.
I'm your host, Jackson White, here with John Easter.
It is 1:17 p.m. Heart rate, 78, 79, I don't know.
And 2 days removed from Easter, so hopefully everyone had a good Easter.
Here comes the Easter joke.
With John Easter.
I knew it was coming. I could see it. Just saw the look in his eyes. He telegraphed that one.
Yeah.
That's just a...
It's an easy joke.
I did have a good Easter. It was good. Relaxing.
Yeah, I
did not do much.
We ate some food, and normally you have to eat. You have to dress nice for your Easter and everything like that.
Did you dress up?
We didn't have family this year go for Easter.
You don't have family this year?
No. Wow. Normally we do Easter with family, but we didn't do Easter this year, so I ate Easter dinner in pajama pants and a hoodie.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that's some way to do it.
You had a get-together, correct?
Yes, I had multiple.
There you go.
Yeah, so I ate a lot of ham and a lot of different foods.
Deviled eggs.
I did not.
You didn't have deviled eggs?
No.
I love some Easter ham.
They were there,
Easter
but I didn't grab any.
Actually, I just love ham. Yeah. So
if you had a pet pig.
I would feel bad.
And you had, is that technically Easter's? Is that with a big Easter ham or Easter's ham?
I don't know. But I would feel really bad because how much I like pork chops, bacon,
ham.
I would feel awful.
Every time you look at the pig, just be like, what else?
I'd just be like, oh, this is awful. This is awful.
I wonder what it would be like having a pet pig.
They say they do make really, they're really smart.
Yeah, they're coarse. Like, I've pet them at the state fair, and they're, like, really, really coarse.
But they're also one of those things that people do pick up, and they think they're going to be really good pets.
And they're not.
And then they grow up.
Yeah.
Because they're really cute when they're little.
Yeah, not when they're 400.
When they grow up to be big pigs.
Well, yeah. Owen wants a pet pig now, so...
Spider pig. Spider pig.
Greg Pulley, if you're listening, Owen wants a pet pig.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
so this is the sports spotlight, though. Not
the pet spotlight.
Talking only about pets on Wednesday.
It's the pet spotlight on Giant 90.9.
So there is conversation as before we get in the show that the sports spotlight, since I am the creator of the sports spotlight, will continue after me.
Yes.
As I had conversations with Owen earlier, he could continue the show next year.
Yeah, it'll have to be in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long story, but it has to be in the morning. So
basically some things happen, and we're going to have a morning show next year, probably about 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock.
We'll see.
Tuesdays and Thursdays. Still, we will keep Tuesdays and Thursdays if we still can.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
It's still a long way from now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so Owen will be taking over as the main host.
The curator of the Sports Spotlight.
Yeah.
So that will be something there. And then maybe you can pass it on again the year after.
Yeah.
We need like a sports spotlight crown or something. That you
A chalice.
You have to wear.
Right.
Throughout the years.
People just walk down the hall. You got a crown on. What's that? Oh, it's the Sports Spotlight crown.
I'm the current host.
You can get one of those Burger King crowns, you know. Mark it out.
The king of the Sports Spotlight.
Mark it out. Put Sports Spotlight on it.
There Burger, or instead of Burger King, it's Sports King.
Yeah, Spotlight King. There you go.
Sports Spotlight King. There you go.
And, you know, you could change the little points to be like a basketball and a football and a soccer ball and hockey puck
and a IndyCar.
IndyCar.
A tire, a race tire.
Yeah.
Yeah, a race tire and a baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know if you mentioned that.
On the Mound Monday, his other show.
That was yesterday because yesterday was Monday.
Really? Actually,
today's
Monday comes before Tuesday.
Wow.
Breaking news, Adam Schefter reporting Monday comes before Tuesday.
Per Woj.
Per Woj, Adrian Wojciechowski. That's a Woj bomb.
Woj bomb. Monday is before Tuesday.
Wait. We're also hearing now Sunday is before Monday.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy breaking news.
Here you go. I know this isn't sports related, but we're off topic anyway. When does night become morning? I know technically it's midnight, but
I think I want to say probably like 4:30 to 5 a.m.
You think that's when it switches over? Yeah, because
like nobody really wakes up at like if you wake up at 5:30 like or 5 o'clock, like that's like, oh, you're getting up early.
Right.
If you wake up at 4 o'clock, like if somebody wakes up for 4 o'clock, I'm like, oh, you're going to like the airport or something.
Right.
Like 5 o'clock, you're going to work. 4 o'clock, you're going for something that's
I
not
would just. I would say sunrise.
There's like a loud clap of thunder at 2 a.m. Are you waking up early in the morning or in the middle of the night?
That's the middle of the night.
That's the middle of the night.
Middle of the night. Yeah.
4 a.m.
I think that's so. That's the cutoff. Okay. All right. We've established that it is now law.
I think sunrise is just the change. Of it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just one of those. But like, what about in the winter? With myself.
What about in the winter when like the sun rises at like 8 a.m.?
I mean, the morning is whenever I wake up. So.
Well, and that's another thing too. If daylight savings time becomes permanent. There's some places, including Indiana, where the sun won't rise until like 9 a.m. Right.
When Wall Street opens.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
When they ring the bell.
All right. So.
It's a sports show.
You got any sports to talk about?
8 minutes to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Now that everyone has turned off the sports spotlight.
Yeah, they're not even talking about sports. They're talking about sports. The sun.
No.
But there was.
Talking about daylight savings time.
There was a big announcement for the Indianapolis Colts over the weekend, this past Friday.
They finally did something.
Yeah, they did something. The Colts signed Stephon Gilmore, former Defensive Player of the Year in 2019. They signed him to a two-year deal worth a value of $20 million.
Couple bucks.
And a max value of $23 million. So that will be $10.5 million guaranteed this season. Mm-hmm. And it has $14 million in total in guarantees. So practically against the cap, Stephon Gilmore
will get
10 million.
Does he have any stock options or anything with that?
I don't know. Maybe he gets a pet dog with the contract. Who knows? But Stephon Gilmore will be an Indianapolis Colt.
That's what
pet pig,
yeah.
That's what it is. Via Owen. But
me and Stephon Gilmore could have matching pet pigs.
There you go. but this is really, you could say, the biggest free agent signing, if it pans out. The Colts don't sign free agents.
Forever.
I mean, this is their biggest free agent signing ever, you could say.
Definitely for a while. I'm trying to – it's hard to even think back. Maybe the guy they ended up training to Miami. Off the top of my head, I'm forgetting his name. Grigson signed him.
Ooh.
The name has just escaped me.
They traded from Miami?
Traded to Miami.
The only Miami guy that was a Colt I can
think
of
is
Jacoby Brissett. That's the only guy I can think of that's in Miami now.
Defensive back?
The corner?
Yes.
Davis? Vontae Davis?
Vontae Davis.
They got Vontae Davis from Miami.
Okay, I knew Miami was involved there somehow.
Well, they didn't sign him off the free agent market.
Okay.
You could say Frank Gore. It was a big name at the time.
And just really never had a big chance here.
I mean, that team wasn't really in a win-now situation. His luck barely played with Frank Gore. You could say Andre Johnson.
That didn't work out.
Prime.
Yeah, that didn't work out at all.
I mean,
what about Owen Pulley? Is he a good free agent signing for the sports spotlight?
Yeah, could. No, remember I got the 10-day when Kevin was cut.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But we ended up signing you to the remainder. And you're hopefully by the end of the year, your contract gets renewed, and you can continue the show next
year. Yeah,
hopefully.
We're still evaluating our options.
You know, I'm just playing it every day. Play every day like it's my last.
Keep your head down.
You know, keep my head down. Stay in the work. Stay in the weight room. You know, getting everything done.
Watching the tape.
Watching film as much as I can. Listening in.
When you turn on the film, you're really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, back to the Colts.
Yes.
Back to the Colts.
We're in one of those moods today, aren't we?
But Stephon Gilmore comes to a... let's say a Colts team that had a defense that has a good amount of playmakers, you could say. And 2 years, $20 million, that's a pretty cheap deal for a guy of Stephon Gilmore's caliber when he's fully healthy. Last year, obviously, he missed 8 games out of the 17, but the Patriots ended up getting traded, kind of played iffy, you could say. And Carolina was a Pro Bowl alternate last season, but he only had 16 tackles, 2 picks. Was really hurt all last season. The year prior, he had a really good season, and the year before that, he was Defensive Player of the Year. So, you could say Stephon Gilmore is still a top-caliber cornerback. He was a free agent for a long time, and I think this is probably the best deal he's going to get. Mm-hmm. As of right now, he's a guy who's getting up there in age. He's not 30 yet, but he's about to be, I do believe. To a Colts team that needs a cornerback. That was their, I would say, their biggest defensive need prior to this signing. With the trade away of Rock Ya-Sin for Ngakoue, the lineman, cornerback was their biggest hole, and they it seems like they patched that for now. Let's see how long he lasts, but if he can still be a top 10 corner in this league and just put up good numbers, I mean, this Colts defense is practically, you could say, a no-fly zone.
Right. Well, and I think they didn't sign him to like a 4-year deal. They signed him to 2 years, and I think that's probably prudent because you want to see, you know, how he does here and how he fits in with what Gus Bradley wants to do. But, you know, we were talking off air the other day about how Gus Bradley's just like, he's happy man right now because he's got definitely a really good defensive unit. And for a guy that built the Legion of Boom, and, you know, he's had some good luck with Jacksonville's defense as well, and I mean, he's a good defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
Then you add in John Fox, who's also a good defensive coordinator, good defensive coach. I mean, the Colts are pretty set now with on that side of the ball.
The other side of the ball, we'll talk about in a minute whenever we look at the draft. But
which I think was kind of not really polar opposite of last year, but
I mean, the Colts defense last year ranked top 10 in every statistic. They had the most points, takeaways, turnovers, all that. Highest scoring defense. I mean, their defense statistically was top. I mean, in all reality, top five. Fantasy, they were like third. The Colts defense wasn't the problem at times. It's just in the fourth quarter,
they give it up.
They had plus differential in the first three quarters by like plus over 100, like plus 189.
Well, and then, of course, you have Mr. Turnover, Darius Leonard, in there. I mean, he's got what, the third most turnovers like in the last 5 years in the NFL.
He should be up there now. I think he's either one or two or three. I mean,
third most.
That makes sense.
I saw it in a tweet from somebody.
Most forced fumbles in that span, of course. I mean, he had 12 last season, I think, or something like that.
It's the punch out move that he had.
Yeah, and that's a Darius Leonard original.
Yeah, and nobody. I think we're going to start seeing that more often now because it's just the Darius Leonard is so good. And he played on a bum ankle last year. People do not understand. That guy could not walk. He would walk to the sideline. I went to multiple Colts games last season. I paid a lot of attention to Darius Leonard. He was constantly getting work on that ankle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember watching two Hard Knocks. Like, they showed stuff of him in the tent, him at home getting treatment, and like everything like that.
I mean, he was nowhere. I don't even think he was 80% last season, and he played at a Pro Bowl All Pro level. And I really hope for a really good year for him next year, fully healthy, because one thing he did struggle with last season was pass coverage, and that in all reality he hasn't been the best pass coverage linebacker in his career. Last season he really struggled because he couldn't move.
Right.
He's really good to get those right spots. He knows the spots on the field. But if he can get that mobility back, and hopefully with a fully healthy ankle, he can do that. I would assume his sacks, which he did not have any last season, and his interceptions would move up as well. But all these, you have all these players in the secondary. You have now, you have the McLeod, the safety, coming in with Julian Blackman and Willis back there. The corners, obviously, Stephon Gilmore, a turnover beast. Isaiah Rogers, who came on at the end of the last season. Kenny Moore.
Kenny Moore, yeah.
I'm getting to him, the slot cornerback. Kenny Moore, I would say the best slot cornerback in the NFL.
And also the Colts man of the year, Walter
Payton.
Should have
been
of the year.
NFL is Walter Payton here, but
he was second.
I believe Whitworth. Second. Andrew Whitworth won that.
Yeah.
And just get to showcase it because he retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Moore could have showcased it, but I would assume he'll be back up there next year. He does so many good things. Kenny Moore is really a man of the people here in Indy. And you follow him on Twitter, and he's talking about
always doing something.
Always doing something. He's talking about the 500. He's a big racing fan. He fits in here. So right. Kenny Moore, just a standout player, and he's going to get paid whenever his time comes.
Well, and I know there was talk from the IMS about getting Kenny Moore, you know, locked in more with what they're doing at IMS, and then also trying to get Tyrese Haliburton out there too, so get the Pacers involved in that too.
Yeah, Haliburton says he wants to do it as well, and then Kenny Moore commented on that tweet or whatever and
right.
said,
"I saw that.
I'm come on down." But Kenny Moore is a standout player and the best slot cornerback in the game, and I mean he's definitely either one A or one B. And then you look at the defensive line in a much improved group before the draft. Obviously, they got Ngakoue, a guy who's going to give you 10 sacks, really good creating pressure.
And the guy who's also familiar with Gus Bradley.
Gus Bradley, obviously playing with him last season.
Right.
And then you have the best, I would say the second best defensive tackle in football, and DeForest Buckner. Even though last year his stats were down because his pass rush was just practically him by himself. He was getting doubled every snap. And then you have Kwity Paye, who came on at the end of last season and hopefully having a breakout year too. The Colts defense, in all reality, I would like to add maybe another safety in the draft, maybe, because you probably want a good 5 or 6 safeties who could play, because safeties are just such an important position in football. But this defense is looking, I mean, ready to go.
I'm excited for, you're mentioning Kwity Paye. I mean, he's a young guy. I mean, last year he was a rookie, or maybe second year. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But being a younger guy and having a breakout year, possibly next year, and being next to DeForest Buckner, learning from him, learning the tips and tricks from a guy who's been in the league for a while now, and like you said, one of the better guys in the league. And I'm just excited for Kwity Paye.
I mean, Kwity Paye is a guy who he struggled start of the year last season. He really did. He didn't play well. He was banged up at times. He doesn't seem like he was 100 till really the end of the season. And obviously, you're not going to be 100, but close to it. That one, he seemed more healthy, it seemed like. But I just think having Ngakoue on that right side, having Paye on the left, Buckner in the middle, it's really going to be an opportunity for the Colts to get to the quarterback, something they struggled with last season. And obviously getting to the quarterback leads to interceptions and turnovers because the quarterback has to throw it earlier, meaning the receivers don't have enough time to create separation. So the Colts defense, I mean, I would fully expect it to be a top 5 unit, top 3 unit in NFL.
Another guy that you didn't mention there on the defensive line is the second round pick last year who was hurt most of the year,
mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about. Deo Odiyingbo.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a guy who they thought were first round talents coming in. Obviously, he had a really bad injury. So he did not really play too much last season.
Right.
So ultimately we will see. But he's another guy who can come in and help them out. And Bobby Okereke, another guy who had 100 tackles, a couple of interceptions. I got a few sacks too. He's another really young, good linebacker. So.
Or as Pat McAfee said, Bobby Okereke.
He actually did go, I believe his legal name is Okereke. But he went.
It is a Nigerian pronunciation.
He legally changed it. I remember they talked about this on a broadcast one game. He legally changed it to Okereke.
You don't have to legally change how people
something.
Pronounce your name.
Or maybe he changed the pronunciation. Not legally, but you know.
Okereke for a while, right. But this season.
He changed to Okereke.
Dad passed away or something.
Okereke.
Don't quote me on that, but he changed it.
Well, and he changed it, and nobody was told except I think Ian Eagle who was calling him Okereke all game, and people were like dogging out Ian Eagle on social media. It's like, no, that's the way. In fact, I think it was either may have been Spiro Ditas, was one of those guys from CBS who came on the air and was like, yes, we know that it was Okereke before, but now it's Okereke because that's the way he wants it. And I know that there was a Colts. Man, my brain is just doing weird things today. A Colts player that went out and played for San Francisco after he left here. Defensive back.
Not ringing a bell.
Yeah. Well, his name was pronounced one way by Bob Lamy and folks when he was here, and then it was different out there, and it was just like, well, he never told anybody.
Right.
It was pronounced differently.
But what you're saying about the Colts defense being, they were top five, top three maybe this year on paper, except for the fourth quarter. But I'm hoping next year that they can actually be a top five team on paper and in reality. And they can show.
I mean, the Colts, if they play three quarters in last season, they probably finish with the top three record in the NFL. They blew so many leads last season.
Antoine Bethea.
Yep, it was Bethea.
Bethea.
It was, yeah, but it was always Bethea pronounced here, but it was Bethea.
Sorry, I just remembered it.
There you go. Good brain. I could see it. I could see it. It's Bethea. I could see it in my...
I can't take full credit for that. I have to shout out my father. Who's listening.
He's got it, man. Your dad comes through with all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, my dad. He always listens to the Sports Spotlight.
Antoine Bethea. That was it.
Yeah, and
I was looking it up on my phone.
While he does the podcast with Darius Leonard. I'm surprised because I've listened to that a few times.
Going back to what you said about the Colts defense.
But their defense.
Thank you, Greg Pulley, for the assist.
There we go. But you look at it, and the squad's looking ready. And, I mean, if like I mentioned right before that thing right there, if they play three quarters last season, they finish with the top three record in the league.
As long as they don't play the
fourth quarter
Jacksonville Jaguars there.
Yeah. If the Colts played NFL football like NCAA basketball was played, men's basketball, it'd be the greatest team in the history of football.
First half? Yeah. Well, their first half defense was amazing. They destroyed the Buccaneers in the first half, and then Tom Brady threw like 400 yards in the second half.
Well, in two.
That's TB12. But
in two, you know, they were hurt by depth last year issues.
Oh, by so much.
You know, somebody was out. The defense was going to struggle. We saw that against the Ravens in that game where they literally just allowed, you know, the Ravens to do whatever they wanted to down the stretch, and it ended up costing them that game. Any one of those games that they kind of blew at the end would have put the Colts in the playoffs. And I think that's probably what Chris Ballard looks at, and he's like.
And you see all these signings now that are like, well, that guy. Who's that?
Right.
But he's a depth player.
Well, and two, I would also look at who the Colts are going to be playing in the AFC South. I think that you could argue that Tennessee got worse at this offseason. I think you could argue that Houston is kind of, they still don't know what they want to do.
Still Houston.
And Jacksonville's still Jacksonville. So you look at the Colts defense in this division.
Oh, it's easily the best.
Right. Tennessee's got a really good defense too, but you look at the Colts defense in this division, I think that helps them step up. And then you add in the side of the ball that we haven't talked about yet with Matt Ryan, who's by far the best quarterback in the division. The Colts, you have to say that they're stepping forward. And you know what? Chris Ballard, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You know, you fell in the mud puddle and came out clean. We've said that several times. So I was wrong. You kind of knew what you were doing, and I should have just shut up.
He's an NFL team GM, though.
That's why he gets that money.
He's a highly ranked NFL GM as well. Yeah. He's not the worst, and he's up there with the best, to say the least. And I think that's why a guy like Stephon Gilmore came here. I mean, he did a little bit of interviews yesterday, and he said this team looks like it's ready. That's what he said. And obviously, he's going to go to a competing team. And I think he knows what a competing team's like. He was on those New England teams.
Right.
And
so you add in another guy that's got a ring, too.
Yeah, another guy has multiple rings.
Yep.
And a guy who's played with greats like Tom Brady, a guy who was on the team whenever they came back 28-3 against his quarterback now, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan's going to be, hey, dude. Looking at him in practice. Come on, man.
It was funny because they showed a highlight reel of Stephon Gilmore on the NFL Twitter account, and the first play was him picking off Matt Ryan in in Carolina last season.
And yeah.
Did you really have to put that in there?
I'm glad. I'm sure that Matt Ryan is glad that they're on the same team now.
Oh, yeah. And you look at the offensive side of the ball, and obviously the glaring effect of that is going to be the NFL draft, which is in 9 days now. Obviously, next week we're going to kind of break down some of the picks. Maybe I'm going to try to do some research on the NFL draft. I am really just not aware of the NFL draft at all right now.
Well, it's and I think – I can't remember if it was JMV who was talking about this or Jake Query or the combination of the two, but they were talking about how kind of out of it we are because the Colts don't have that first-round draft pick. So, you know, they start in the second round, so the Colts won't have a pick until the second day. So we kind of feel like we're out of it, you know, right now. And certainly things happen on that first day. I can't imagine that there's any reason why Chris Ballard would trade up into the first round.
Unless he sees something not that like, he has to have.
There's oh, man, I want to get that. It's, you know, it's not a situation where you got your quarterback settled. You got your defense settled now. Now you're looking at probably wide receivers,
tight end, depth
on the offensive line. You're not going to move up to find that because you can find all that the second round. Maybe, if you're not sold on Sam Ehlinger, maybe a backup quarterback, you know, things like that. But you're not going to trade assets to get up in the first round unless somebody maybe approaches you.
Yeah, leave it type of deal.
Yeah.
But Chris Ballard's the guy who loves assets.
Yep.
He's the guy who is known for trading back. He's not a guy who's going to give away assets to move up.
Right.
He hasn't done that in his career.
He's like Bill Belichick in that regard. Bill Belichick loves draft picks, and Ballard so does Chris too. Ballard.
Not the Rams, though.
No.
No.
The Rams will... speaking of the Rams, I know we're talking about the Colts, and I know we need to talk about the Colts offense, but I was really surprised that Sean McVay came back this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because their shelf life for that team is not tremendous.
What do you mean shelf life?
I mean, like they're future? Old.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're old and they don't have assets and their salary kept maxed out.
But, they're going to compete next season. I mean, I would assume.
Right, but I know there were so many broadcasting jobs open this year that were not cheap broadcasting jobs, by the way. I mean, some big money broadcasting jobs. And it just, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I thought he was going to bolt. But he didn't.
Man, he stayed. He's going to run it back, so we will see. But, yeah, that a Rams team, let's say whenever, I'd say their window is 2 more years.
Yeah.
And then once that window closes, they are going to be in a deep, unless their GM works off some more magic.
Right.
They're going to be in a deep, deep hill to climb.
But you talk about GMs working magic back to Chris Ballard. Essentially, you get rid of Carson Wentz for
Matt Ryan and a second-round pick practically if Carson Wentz plays all of next season.
Right.
Or not a third next season.
So you get out of that. You don't have to pay him, which was another
you have to pay Carson Wentz,
big thing.
And you only have to pay like a 3/4 of Matt Ryan.
Right. You get Gilmore.
You get Stephon Gilmore, former defensive player of the year.
You trade with the Raiders.
You give away Rock Ya-Sin, who is a cornerback who had moments. But you get a established Pro Bowl player in Ngakoue.
And what else have I forgotten?
You
obviously, Big Q still has to.
He's most likely coming very, very soon.
Right. That still has to get done. But, I mean, you've really taken the Colts a step forward, and you've kind of gained assets, and you haven't spent all your free agent money.
Yeah, the Colts practically have had, I mean, obviously the perfect all season. I would say this is up there with that. I wouldn't say perfect. There's probably some things I would have done differently. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu is a guy wish I could have had, but he would have been expensive.
Right.
In all reality, he would have been more than Gilmore. He probably would have been 2 years 30. And I mean, I don't know if I want to do that right now because Mathieu is 30 years old. Safeties don't really last too much longer after that.
Right.
If he would have made 2 years 20, I probably would have gave it to Mathieu because he is still a proven Pro Bowl All-Pro caliber player. But You look at it, and I would say this offseason, after the Gilmore signing, I would give it an A-.
But in the end, the results still have to follow.
And yeah, that's I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we talk about now, what we rate their draft, what we rate their offseason.
Right.
It does not matter until the season starts and the Colts play five games.
They win a division or...
It doesn't matter in all reality until they win the division.
Right.
And they haven't done that since 2014.
Right, which is hard to believe.
It's really hard to believe.
They dominated that division for so long. And then
they went three seasons without losing in the division.
Right.
Because everyone in that division was terrible.
And you had the Sheriff.
Well, no, that was the Andrew Luck years.
But you also had Peyton Manning, who pretty much dominated the division. So you had Peyton Manning, you had Andrew Luck, both those guys.
Andrew Luck didn't even lose to Tennessee in his career.
Right.
Didn't lose to Tennessee once in his whole entire career as a starting quarterback. That is wild to me.
Well, then the one year, I think they thought they had him. You know, Matt Hasselbeck started the game, and he beat. Where was he? Was that Houston?
That was Tennessee as well.
Yeah, that was Tennessee.
Yeah. Matt Hasselbeck came in. That was, I think, 2015?
Yeah.
The year after the Colts went to the AFC Championship. But that's besides the point. That was 7 years ago now.
Yeah.
Crazy. But, yeah, we're on a team now that he asked me in 2015, hey, 2022, Matt Ryan's going to be your quarterback, and Stephon Gilmore is going to be your cornerback. I'm like, oh. Wow, something's different here. But, yeah, definitely times have changed. But you look ahead to the NFL draft. The Colts, off the top of my head, have, I do believe, 1 second-round pick. And then they did move up 5 picks. I do believe they were at 47. They moved up to 42 with the Carson Wentz trade.
Right.
They have 2 third-rounders, I think, from the Carson Wentz trade and their own. So you look at the NFL draft prospects, and I'm on CBSSports.com, by the way. This is the rankings of players. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 receivers going in the first round. There is 1, 2, 3, 4 receivers going in the second round. So 8 receivers, possibly, according to CBS, going in the first 2 rounds. And there's another guy right on the like the first pick of the 3rd. So... That is, I mean, there's receivers to have. I mean, there's lots of good receivers. It's just a loaded receivers class. But, I mean, that's the glaring thing for the Colts. But if you're the Colts right now, obviously, let's say all those receivers, those top 8, really the elite threshold of receivers, not elite, but the top picks of receivers, are gone. If you're the Colts, do you take best player available? Or do you just try to go kind of reach on a player of position of need?
I think that we've seen from Ballard's past, he goes the best player available, even if he's got a quarterback, you know, or even if he's got an offensive line. I mean, he'll go whoever that best player is. We've seen that time and time again with him.
Yeah, and he's a guy who has an excellent record in the second round of drafting. I mean, just crazy good second-round drafter. So that's something, I mean, that is it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, receiver, tight end, their biggest needs.
Right.
Left tackle's a need, possibly.
Right.
And
at least maybe another option.
Yeah.
Left tackle, because it seems like they're going to go with what they have.
It does seem like that, but I thought their quarterback would be completely different as well, and it wasn't. So we will have to see.
Who knows? Maybe Chris Ballard will, you know, trade a large bucket of Lucas Oil Stadium popcorn for a left tackle and 2 first-round draft picks plus a 3rd-round draft pick and a large Diet Coke for somebody. You know, he could figure something out.
Yeah, you never know with Chris Ballard. He works magic sometimes. But now we're going to go to the NBA. The NBA playoffs, switching topics. And obviously the Pacers are not in the NBA playoffs as they finished 13th in the Eastern Conference, but there's lots of other teams that did make the playoffs. So right. We're going to start it. Last time we talked was prior to the final game of the play-in. Actually, we do have something to talk about with the Indiana Pacers, according to this. But as my phone likes to send me back to April 1st, so thank you, phone.
It's trying to take you backwards.
Wants me to take me. It took me right to a Pacers game on April 1st.
Wants to Should take you to May.
Yeah.
That's where it should go.
But we go now to the Hawks versus the Cavaliers. We talked about that matchup going into it. The winner of this game advances to be the 8th seed in the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Conference. The loser of this game, obviously eliminated. And the Cavs, if they were to win this game, they would have gave the Indiana Pacers their first-round pick of this season. Sadly, the Atlanta Hawks beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 107-101. And now the Pacers are a team with one first-rounder. And now next year, the same rules follow. If the Cavs make the playoffs, the Pacers get a first-round pick. If they miss it, the Pacers get a 2 second-round picks the year after, I think. Something like that. So the same rules apply for next season, so we will have to pay attention to that. But sadly, no extra first-rouner for the Indiana Pacers and a team that could definitely need it.
Yeah, but you do get that second-round pick of the Cavs, and Caris LeVert has not been great in Cleveland.
He played poor in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, there was times where he went down and shot a couple shots. 10 points, 40 minutes for Caris LeVert. So averaging, I mean, that is just...
So former Pacers coach Nate McMillan, who I know you're no big fan of, but former Pacers coach Nate McMillan is now 2-for-2 in Atlanta making the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Pacers have not made the playoffs since his departure. But obviously Atlanta has a player in Trae Young and kind of a win-now team.
Pacers really don't have a Trae Young.
No, we have a Tyrese Halliburton, but he's only been here 26
right.
games. They so we will see.
Duarte, Halliburton, and some ingredients.
But not the...
That still need to all be whipped up into a wonderful team.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Coach Carlisle, though, is the better coach out of the two, to say the least. At least on my opinion. Some people like McMillan, but I just... He is not an X and O's coach. And
As I've said before... I don't understand why Nate McMillan gets fired after you extend him. But that's the way it goes.
I don't know. Maybe because they extend him because he gets money. Maybe they try to do him a favor.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was rumored, but who knows.
I don't think the Pacers disliked Nate McMillan. I just think it was
time to move on.
Time to go.
Yeah. And they were going in a different direction after that season anyway. As we know, they were terrible last two seasons.
Right. So I was like one of those people. I'm kind of like, well, I don't want to see them get fired, but I understand if they do.
Yeah.
That was kind of where I was with Nate McMillan.
I was to a point where I was on the fire.
You were on the fire, Nate.
Get him out of here because I did not have any hope in him. I was just kind of disappointed in his offense.
And then the Pacers hired Nate Bjorkgren, and everybody's like, yeah, what a great home run hire. What amazing. And that did not turn out very well.
I was not one of the people that said that. I just said, he won a D-League championship. Shout out to that. I didn't really know anything about him, and I really couldn't say his name. So I'm kind of happy we got someone I can say his name now. But now going back to the NBA playoffs, Pelicans versus Clippers for the 8th seed.
You're just honest, man.
In the Western Conference, and this was a really good game. And the Pelicans, the surprise team in this one with a worse record than the Clippers, make the playoffs. Paul George did not play. It's rumored he got COVID right before the game, tested positive. Who knows?
The health and safety protocol, quote unquote.
Yeah, so no Kawhi Leonard will be happening in the playoffs. It's rumored he was going to come back around this time.
Is this the first time the Pelicans have made the playoffs?
No, they've made it with Anthony Davis.
Okay.
But this is the first time since then.
Okay.
And Zion Williamson didn't even play this season.
Right.
Crazy thing going on in New Orleans, by the way. Zion Williamson says he wants to play, but the Pelicans do not want him to. So that is cool. That's going to be something developing in the summer.
Something to watch.
Will he be on a different team? I put the money on yes. I would assume that he is on a different team next season. But I don't know. Maybe they can fix the relationship. We'll see. So the playoffs were to set. The Pelicans now would play the Suns, which already happened in game one, and the Hawks will play the Miami Heat. So game one, going now in this was Saturday. The Jazz took on the Mavericks, and the Jazz beat the Dallas Mavericks 99-93 to take the 1-0 lead series on that one. Timberwolves beat the Grizzlies in a shocker. The Grizzlies, the 2 seed, the Timberwolves, the 7 seed. The Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards is that guy. Let's just say that. Really talented player. Karl Anthony Towns had himself a game as well. And John Morant finally back in the lineup after really missing the last month of the season. Just a little bit rusty. But I think the Grizzlies, I think they'll be all right. Going to 76ers-Raptors. 76ers put easy to the Raptors. That's 131-111. Nuggets Warriors, one of
that's
the series.
Now a 2-0 lead for Philadelphia in that one.
We're getting there.
Okay.
And I'm just breaking it down. And then we have Warriors Nuggets, game one, 123-107. Stephen Curry coming off the bench for the Golden State Warriors as he is coming back from an injury. He played decent in this game. Let me check out his stats real quick. But Curry coming off the bench, played 22 minutes, 16 points, kind of just a welcome back. Curry in game two had a way better night. Miami defeated the Hawks 115-91 in blowout fashion. The Celtics beat the Nets on a buzzer beater. This was Sunday on Easter. Jason Tatum does this little spin over Kyrie Irving. He fouled him prior to the shot. Foul did not get called, though. Celtics win it by one. And the Nets fall to the Celtics in game one. Bulls-Bucks game one. The Bulls lose to the Bucks 93-86. And the reigning defending champion.
That's a throwback NBA score there, 93-86.
A defensive battle there. Then you have Suns-Pelicans. The Suns put away to the Pelicans in, a 12-point victory. And then going to now game twos. This happened yesterday, Monday night. The 76ers put away the Raptors again easy, 112-97. And we talked about this series going into it. And we said if James Harden plays well and Joel Embiid plays well, and if they both play decent, the 76ers have too much talent and they're going to win.
Right. And they're a very good threat. But those guys playing well to go further than the first round. Put it that way. Very good threat to go further, go deep into the playoffs.
And
those guys playing well.
Tyrese Maxey, a guy who has come into a star for the 76ers. James Harden not playing well lately. And I said if Harden has a bad series, they're going to lose. I was wrong. Tyrese Maxey is a guy who stepped into the Harden role and played it well. James Harden, sadly, his career is looking like it could be on the verge of being over as a superstar, at least. He's still a great player.
Which means the Pacers will be really interested in him.
Oh, 100%. They're going to give him a big contract. Hey, I did not mention this. Monte Ellis is officially off the Pacers' books. So there we go. They're no longer playing Monte Ellis, who last played for the team in 2018. But, the Sixers knock off a win there. Mavericks defeat the Jazz. That game will be at least going to 5-1-1. The first series that has another team win that didn't win the game one. The Mavericks won 110-104. And Jalen Brunson had 41 points. And Luka Doncic's, what's the word I'm looking for? He did not play.
Did not play coach's decision?
No, he's hurt.
Okay. Did not play injury?
Yeah, did not play injury. So Brunson had 41 and defeats the Jazz. Nuggets-Warriors. The Warriors once again put away the Nuggets in blowout fashion. Stephen Curry is back, ladies and gentlemen. 34 points. Still coming off the bench for the Warriors, but in only 23 minutes, 34 points. We'll see if he gets back in the lineup. But Jordan Poole, the story of the playoffs so far, 29 points in this one. A guy who was on a G League roster to start last season. And so we will see Poole. He's a guy who is averaging over 30 points in this playoffs. So another rising star in Golden State. And another just a scary team if they're healthy. A scary team. And obviously the Nuggets, they've gone through a lot. Jamal Murray most likely not going to play. Sam Walker Porter Jr. And sadly, possibly the league MVP going to go it out early. And Golden State, if they're shooting the ball well, they're scary.
Mm-hmm.
Now going to tonight, their NBA games tonight.
Triple header
tonight as the Hawks take on the Heat in Miami game two.
We could have Marv Albert do this. Here we go. The Atlanta Hawks take on the Miami Heat.
Got to get the TNT background.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right. Let's see. The Minnesota Timberwolves against the Memphis Grizzlies. And the New York Knicks. No, I'm just kidding.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
And
on the Phoenix Suns.
That's the nightcap, 10 o'clock tonight. So you have the Hawks and the Heat at 7:30, the Grizz and the Wolves at 8:30, and then the Pelicans and the Suns at 10 tonight. So.
And you look at all three of those games, and two of them probably going to be blowouts, I could say. I think the Suns are the best team in the league right now.
Right.
I would say they put away the Pelicans early. Same with the Heat versus the Hawks. Hawks, they have Trae Young, and he played really poor in game one. But he's still, I think the Heat are the better team. You're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But then you have the game of the Grizzlies versus the Timberwolves. And we're talking about the NBA playoffs, by the way, if you're just tuning in. But this game, this series is obviously a 2-7, but the Timberwolves, such a young team as well. Same with the Grizzlies. And John Morant versus Anthony Edwards. Obviously, Patrick Beverley on the Timberwolves going up against John Morant. If anything is going to happen, I could see the Timberwolves winning this series. Going into it, I didn't think so because the Grizzlies played really well to close out the season. But the Timberwolves have a lot of good players. They have a good coach. It's going to be, I mean, that could be get upset.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, I'm trying to see who's calling that game tonight on NBA TV because it just might be. No, he's got the Mavericks series. Our own Kevin Calabro, Ben Davis graduate, is calling games on NBA TV, but he has the Mavericks and the Jazz series. I thought maybe he had this one.
So he's doing it on NBA TV?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Why? And I saw on his Twitter bio.
He's the Ben Davis, voice of the Ben Davis Giants, 72-74. I love that.
I did see that, so that is funny. And he's doing games on NBA TV, so yeah, that's a thing.
He's right the man,
there.
Of course, the former voice of the Seattle Sonics. And when they moved to Oklahoma City, he didn't follow the team, but he's also been the voice of the Portland Trailblazers and worked for TNT and some other outlets. And now he was the voice of NBA Live, mm-hmm. You know, those games. Microsoft put those out. He was a voice of that. And then now he's NBA playoffs. He's still working games. So that's pretty cool.
And obviously a WBDG grad.
Yep.
But, yeah, there's some more games happening Wednesday night, as we will not talk about them until
Pelican
Thursday.
Suns is Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, and Ali LaForce. The T-Wolves and the Grizz, Spiro Dedis, Grant Hill, and Chris Hayes. And then the Hawks and the Heat will be Ian Eagle, Jim Jackson, and Rebecca Harlow. There you go.
Eagle getting a 2-shout-out on the show today.
I love Ian Eagle, man. That guy is fantastic. So is Kevin Harlan, for that matter. That's one thing on the NBA. You don't have any slouches calling NBA games.
No.
You know, you're getting Kevin Harlan, you're getting Ian Eagle, you're getting Kevin Calabro, you're getting those guys. Those are heavy hitters.
So, oh, yeah, all really good.
Yep.
And it's funny because all these NFL guys, I mean, Ian Eagle's a guy who mostly does NFL stuff.
Well, he does everything.
Well, he does everything, but he's most known for his NFL
stuff.
He
does the NCAA. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing really that keeps Ian Eagle from being CBS's number one voice is Jim Nance is sitting there. So Ian's like one of those guys that can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
And he made fun of my name.
Really?
Yeah, they had a Sportscaster Summit last year, mm-hmm. Which was actually it was 2 years ago. It was during COVID. It's about this time. I think it was April 20th of 2020. But they had this Sportscaster Summit, and I went and you could ask questions because it was Zoom, so you get to ask questions. So I was sitting there, and I said, Mr. Eagle, I'm a big fan of yours. I asked my question. He's like, well, John, he's like, I'm a big fan of your holiday. Like, well, I can't take credit for it, but thank you very much. That's what he said. So Ian Eagle joked about my name.
Hey.
And his son is the voice of the Clippers. No Eagle.
Really?
Yeah, the local voice of the Clippers.
So,
yep.
There you go.
Anyway, there you go. Announcer nerdism. Had to get that out. Speaking of NFL announcers, Mike Tirico gets the Sunday Night Football gig officially mm-hmm. now.
Officially. I mean, it's been rumored now for months.
Yeah, but it'll be him and Chris Collinsworth.
That's going to be different.
So, yeah, they'll be fine. You know, I mean, Mike Tirico could come in here and work with us, and he would
just fine.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to Wednesday night as we wrap up basketball coverage, NBA playoff coverage, as game 2 of the Nets versus Celtics at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the game 3 of the 76ers Raptors, and then game 2 of the Bulls versus the Bucks at 9:30.
So triple headers. You got NBA games galore right now, and that's a good time. It always used to seem like they would play like one game, and then it would be like a week later, and they'd play. But they seem to really pack in that first round, and then it kind of spreads out a little
bit. Yeah, it's usually you get a night off, you play a game, get a night off, you play another one. And then once you get in the second round, it's kind of you play a game, you get a night off, you play a game, and then you get two days.
They like to maximize the TV windows, too.
Oh, yeah. But for the second round, you play two games as you are at home in the home arena, and then you get 2 days off, you get to go home, then you play your two games, and then you go back to one. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
So, and that's like that for the remainder of the playoffs. So, yeah, the NBA season is winding down. And then, obviously, this offseason, the Pacers have lots of questions, and we're probably going to talk about them a few times because there's not too much to talk about when it comes to Indiana sports right now. Indy Car coming back not next this weekend, but next weekend.
Next weekend at Barber Motor Sports.
Last weekend, NASCAR had a race at Bristol Motor Speedway. They raced in the dirt. And the winner of that one was Kyle Busch, who led only one lap, and it was the final lap in the dirt. So that is always interesting to see NASCARs on dirt.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of a gimmick. I don't like it, to be honest. I don't like I just don't like that they did that to Bristol, which is kind of like, you know, the great bull ring of NASCAR, and they put the – but you know what? If the fans like it, so what? They got a heck of a show, too. They're going to the white flag, sponsored by whoever it's sponsored by. They got the big show there at the end. So that was interesting. Tyler Reddick going for the slide job, and then Bush gets in there, and there you go. That's how it ended.
Runs away with it.
Yep.
And that's how it happened. But
IndyCar is at the Honda Indy Grand Prix. It's on Sunday, May 1st.
So we got a few days, but hopefully down the line and we will get there. So
at Barber Motorsports Park, which I'm sure we'll talk more about when that comes up.
Yeah, next week.
Yep.
Most likely next Thursday is when we'll break it down as the IndyCar race is upon us. And then
so far it's been a bunch of Team Penske. Peretta Motorsports announcing today a road course schedule. So that's pretty cool to see them back out. Of course, Peretta is the all-female team owned by Beth Peretta, driven by Simona DiSilvestro, who, in my view, should be full-time in IndyCar because she is fantastic. But that's good news. So the grid expands more, but still,
only 32
cars for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There was some news, though, on that this week. Juncos Hollinger Racing said that they would be willing to pull out one of their cars because they have two cars. They have their own car, and then they have the assets that they purchased from Carlin Racing. So they have a chassis, but they've been reluctant to do that because they're focusing on Callum Ilott this year. And if they have to have two cars, they don't want to do that. So they want to just have the one. But what there are two or three other owners that are in play here that might rent that car from Juncos Hollinger to run the Indy 500. That's one thing. Of course, we've talked about Stefan Wilson in Cusick Racing. There are a couple of other folks that are possibly in play here, but we're probably not going to know about that until after the open test, which is coming up, I believe, next week at IMS. Next week. So, you know, once again, we're coming up on the month of May, and
tick,
we've got
tick, tick, tick.
32 cars, and I do think that they're going to get to 33. I've had people who are on the inside in a lot of different ways, on the sponsorship side, and, you know, other places that have told me they're going to get to 33, that it just has to be the right deal because everybody's trying to find the right deal.
Yeah.
Now, Juncos wants the right deal for renting their car. The driver and the sponsor and everything has to be right on the other side. And, you know, it just has to be the right deal. But pretty sure we're going to get to 33 because Ricardo Juncos said, I will field a car to make it 33 if I have to. I don't want to, but I will. And you have to respect Juncos Hollinger for saying that they're going to do that, because Roger Penske's attitude last week was, well, it'd be nice to have 33, but if we have 32, you know.
Oh, well.
And that just, I know that, you know, he's the leader of the organization. You know, he's got, what, $4 billion in his bank account. He doesn't like to spend a lot of money. He's not going to field a fourth car. And Penske really, frankly, shouldn't. I mean, just because he owns IndyCar, it's not his responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, to field a fourth car if he doesn't want to. But I think they're going to get to 33. It's just been a little bit annoying that IndyCar, you know, you have, like I said, Pareto Motorsport. They have now expanded the field a little more. I'm not sure exactly what races. I haven't seen the report exactly. But it expands the grid, but it's not expanding the grid at the race.
Yeah, and you that's know. Kind of the...
Because, you know, if they don't get to 33, it's going to be the story all month.
Yeah, probably.
It's going to be the story all month. Peretta is joining with Ed Carpenter. There we go. Here's the story from racer Marshall Pruitt. Beth Peretta and Ed Carpenter have joined forces to bring Pareto Autosport and Ed Carpenter Racing together for a three-race NTT IndyCar Series program. At the heart of the technical alliance is a shared bond with Chevrolet, GM, and GM. And they won't be at Indy, however, just like we've heard. They'll be skipping the Indy 500, but they will be at Road America in June, Mid-Ohio in July, and Nashville in August. So that's good to see. They will be partnering with Ed Carpenter Racing, which was also another speculated partner. There were like two or three Chevrolet teams that people were speculating that they might partner with. So they'll partner with Ed Carpenter Racing and that would be likely that car that Ed Carpenter is running at IMS this year. Because he's got and on the ovals. So they have that extra car that they're fielding for oval races. The number 33 car for Ed Carpenter Racing.
Yeah.
He's not in the 20 this year.
It's going to be weird seeing Carpenter 33.
Yeah, but he'll be in the 20. And then 21 is obviously Rinus VK. And then Ed Carpenter will be in the 33 for Indy. But that car looks like it will be a Pareto car for the other
races.
For some other races. So I think it said, three races?
Yeah.
So that's good. Good to see more teams in the sport. Good to see more cars on the track. That'll just make things a lot more interesting. Also this week in IndyCar news, and I don't know if you wanted to do this now, but Nashville announced some track changes to kind of help make that race a little better. That was kind of a crash fest last year. It turned out to be one of the highest non-Indy 500 races rated you know what I'm saying, highest rated non-Indy 500 races to be watched on television, and they got a crash fest. So they're hoping not to have that this year. They moved the start-finish line onto the straightaway, and then they're widening the axis of some of the turns to make it a little bit easier for drivers to get through them. So that'll be good because obviously Nashville was just a tremendous, tremendous event. I mean, it was a slam dunk. You know, you had full stands, you had tons of interest. You obviously had NBC pouring tons of money into promoting it. It was like every ad on NBC seemed to be Dale Jr. Promoting IndyCar that week. So, you know, Nashville is one of those. IndyCar really wants to push it forward, as they should push it forward. And we'll see what happens with this new track configuration, which should make it better.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of was questioned last year. What will they do to improve the race? And obviously they made the changes. Hopefully it's not as much as a crash fest, obviously. And hopefully they get the same crowds.
And also, media reports this week, Roger Penske came out and said definitively that he wants to have more ovals.
Well, of course.
He thinks that's where they need to go. But he doesn't necessarily want to expand the schedule to get the more ovals. He thinks they're pretty tapped out where the schedule is. And I think this was Marshall Pruitt that reported this. He feels like they're pretty tapped out as far as the number of races. But he wants to see more ovals. So you could and they want to keep Texas, too. That's another thing. He wants to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, Texas race wasn't that bad this year.
It was excellent. It was an excellent race. And the way it finished. But they got to figure out how to get a few more people in the stands there at Texas.
Yeah, that's kind of a big thing.
You know, when you have 170,000 permanent seats or whatever you have at that facility, and, you know, you have maybe, I've seen estimates, 3,000 or 4,000 there. Yeah, that's not. And you know, I don't know how Texas makes that race work at that point. But, you know, what they talked about, like Iowa, what they've done is they've brought in some entertainment. So that now when you, they do the same thing at St. Louis, at Gateway.
They
bring in all sorts of concerts and, you know, all sorts of support events and things like that. But they don't have that at Texas. It's just the IndyCar race, and it's not very well promoted. I've been told within the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is one of the largest, you know, one of the largest markets in the country, you would figure that they would support that a little more. So I think there's room for growth, but they don't want to lose Texas because other than Indianapolis, Texas has been on the schedule once or twice every year since 1997. So they don't want to lose Texas.
No, and I mean, Texas is important, and it's an oval. And if you,
and it's a big oval.
It's a big oval. And if you want more ovals, you're not going to give away an oval.
Right.
So,
although, you know, the rumor was for a while that Texas was going to go away and Milwaukee was coming back, which all old school IndyCar fans are like, yes, Milwaukee. Because you want Milwaukee back. You know, that racetrack is older than Indy. Uh-huh. So you want to try to get that one back, but not at the expense of Texas.
Yeah. Another race I could say I'd like to have come back is Pocono.
No real movement. Although I think Pocono, from all I've read and what I understand, Pocono is open to IndyCar coming back. I just think it's one of those things that, you know, I think IndyCar feels cursed at Pocono. You obviously had losing Justin Wilson there, and then horrible injury with Robert Wickens. And I want to recommend this to everybody. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has an excellent, excellent podcast that he does. He did one with Robert Wickens, and I had no idea just how severe Robert Wickens' injuries were, not only physically but mentally. He goes into a lot of that. I highly recommend that podcast. If you're a racing fan, but if you're an IndyCar fan and you know Robert Wickens and the horrible accident that he had, it's a tremendous interview. And Robert's very honest in the interview about, you know, what he's been through to get back on track, because he is racing now once again in IMSA, which is pretty cool. They've fashioned some hand controls for him, and he's racing again in IMSA. But you know, certainly seek that out and watch that if you haven't already seen it, because it's just excellent. And I like Dale Jr.'s podcast because he asks questions that only a racer can do, you know, because he understands it. He's been through it. And, you know, Dale Jr.'s just really done a great job transitioning from the track to the broadcast booth and also interviews. He's great and really enjoys podcasts.
Yeah, Dale Jr. And he does race occasionally. He
still does, yes.
So he
still
does
get out there. Every once in a while you'll see him in an Xfinity car or something, so he's still hanging in there. You know, just how different he is than his dad, too,
it's nuts.
Really awesome. I mean, obviously, he talks about his dad a lot and their relationship, but just two very different people. You know, Dale Sr. I was lucky enough to get Dale Sr.'s autograph one time. And you never knew what you were going to get with Dale Sr., but I've heard from many people that Jr. is completely different than his dad was. Very giving, very open. I know our own Dontre Graves talks very highly of Dale Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So, guy who was on our staff years ago, now works for IndyCar.
So IndyCar adding a big piece there.
I knew that when Dontre left NASCAR, he posted that he was leaving, and one of the people who commented on his tweet was Dale Jr., which, you know, that's always awesome.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR has a good community.
It is. In racing, I think what you find out is that all these race car drivers, they race each other really hard on the track, but maybe they don't like each other all the time, but off the track, they understand that they're you know, it's just like radio or just like broadcasting. I mean, certainly we're not traveling around at 200 miles an hour banging on off walls and stuff, but there's only a few people that do what we do in radio broadcasting. So, you know, when we're on a press row or somewhere, you know, somebody like Rob Brown or Greg Rakestraw or these people understand what we do, and we're kind of a community. And I think anytime you're, you know, one of the few people that do what you do, you kind of feel a camaraderie with everyone. And I think that it's the same way in NASCAR. It's the same way in IndyCar, you know, but a race car driver, doesn't matter when you drove. I mean, certain things about racing don't change. It takes a lot of courage to get out there. Everybody's been hurt at some point. It's like A.J. Foyt once said, if you haven't been hurt, you're going to be hurt in racing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, I mean, obviously you're putting the body through a lot of G-forces and everything else when you crash. But, you know, anyway, it's a really fascinating podcast with Robert Wickens, and I really highly recommend it. But I think IndyCar feels like they're kind of cursed at Pocono, and maybe they are a little bit. You know, they went away from there for a long time and then came back and had some good races there. You know, I know that you've been there. You go to the Pocono race when they've had it. So obviously it's a good show, but, you know, with the aero screen, is it a little bit different? Mm-hmm. Those fence posts still could tear you up pretty good. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing Robert Wickens talks about. His injuries came from running into that fence. This is, you know, it's like you go from 220 miles an hour to zero.
Yeah, and that's just
that's boom. Not good for the body. So that's what caused a lot of his injuries. Because he, you know, he talked about, like, you see bad accidents, but you walk away. And why didn't I walk away? I mean, that's why he's got that. He talks about that in the podcast. So it's just a very, very good podcast. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, good podcast. Dale Jr., Robert Wickens, who finally back in racing after being out of it for a few years. But
I would have loved to have seen what he would have done in IndyCar further down the line.
Yeah, that would have been something to see. And obviously,
because he was having a great rookie season. Mm-hmm. And then that happened.
Then, like a snap of a finger, that could have been it.
Yeah,
but he's back, and
not only could his career have been over,
his life. Yeah,
he was, you know, to hear him talk about everything he went through to kind of get back, and he's still fighting, you know, right now to get back. So, just a really good, really good interview.
Yeah, but that's gonna wrap up the show today. It's been a good one. We talked a lot about IndyCar, a lot about Colts, of course, to start the show, NBA news, a little bit of Pacer stuff as well, and we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff and more this Thursday, so join us then. But if you want to listen back to anything we have talked about, it's going to be in podcast form on Audio Boom. You can check it out on our Twitter, @S_spotlight, and we'll post the full show on podcast form shortly after this show ends. But thanks for joining us, and have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.